meeting, I should, on behalf of the council, formally acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Next is declarations of interest, and there are none. Being a public meeting, it is appropriate for us panel members, all panel members, to introduce ourselves. I'm David Lloyd. I chair this meeting. I'm a lawyer. I'm a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court, a former acting judge of the Supreme Court, currently an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University. Mr. McInerney.
Yes, my name is John McInerney. I'm a qualified architect and town planner, and I was previously the Deputy Lord Mayor of the City of Sydney. Thanks, David.
Mrs. Taylor.
Mary Lynn Taylor. I'm a planning lawyer, and I have been involved in the sitting on planning panels for 20 years, and I chair a number of other of the planning panels, local planning panels in this state.
Mr. Hawke.
My name's Ken Hawke. I'm the community representative on this panel. I've lived in the Inner West for over 40 years, and I have a 40-year career in local government planning.
All right, so that's the panel. With that, we can move straight on to the agenda. And if that's convenient, I'll go on first to item number one. This is the proposed development at 307 Nelson Street, Annandale. We have noticed that there are four people who wish to address the panel. Before calling upon you, I should remind everyone that the protocol governing these meetings allows members of the public to address the panel for up to 3 minutes. So the first people I call upon are Diana and Lou Keeler. Is it, have I got the right pronunciation? Keeler of 305 Nelson Street. Are you here?
Yes, that's it. We've
We
just
are.
unmuted.
All
Yes,
right.
Keela.
Keeler, thank you very
Keela.
much. Thank you very much. We have your written submission, but now is your chance to speak to that for 3 minutes maximum. Over and out.
How do you go?
Look, we put forward the one page submission as well as a quite comprehensive submission in August. So we felt that we wouldn't waste the panel's time with going over those things again because we've already got them. So we just want to be here and available in case anybody had any questions for us.
Questions from the panel?
Not from me, thanks, Mr. Chair.
No questions? Well, we understand that.
I'd like to make a question.
Yes, Mrs. Taylor.
Yes, could you just tell me where you live in relation to the subject properties?
We're on the southern side. We're at 305 Nelson Street. We're the ones most impacted by solar and the Balkan form and shadowing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, the next people I have on my list are Robert and Alison Fell. Do we have you here?
Yes, it's Alison here. So we would like it noted that we're not opposed in principle to the development on 307 Nelson Street, and we note that the demolition order has been extended by 2 years. Our property is 309 Nelson Street, which is directly adjacent to the 307 lot on the north side. Our objection primarily is to the bulk and scale of the current design, which has significant negative impacts on our property's amenity and visual privacy. The proposed design of the ground and second story extends too far to the rear or east of the property, significantly breaching the building location zone controls. Combined with this breach, the height of the second story to the rear is excessive, with the impact worsened by the breach in the setback control. The resulting bulk and scale of the proposed developments therefore significantly impacts our property's privacy and amenity. The bulk and scale is further worsened by the suggested use of privacy screens on top of excessively high boundary fences. And our final objection is to the information provided for the mature tree, which overhangs our property by more than a metre, which provides significant privacy and amenity to our property. Whilst we know there's an approval to remove this tree, there's insufficient information provided on the type of the replacement tree, the root system, and the growing conditions if the development were to go ahead to make sure that the tree could achieve a mature height. And we're concerned that without this and without a mature tree, our amenity and visual privacy will be further worsened. We'd also like it noted that there have been multiple properties developed in the immediate vicinity of the proposed development, and that these property developments have minimised the impacts on amenity and visual privacy to neighbours by minimising the excessive rear breaches of the building zone locations, as well as minimising the bulk and scale of developments and minimising the breaches in the setback controls. So in its current form, we feel that this has unacceptable impacts on our property. Thank you for the panel's time.
All right, thank you for that. Now we will hear from Mr. Stuart Gordon. Is Mr. Gordon here?
Yes, yes, I'm Mr. Stuart Gordon. I'm here with Wallace Chu also in my office. I'm at SJB Planning, representing the applicant, and Wallace Chu is the applicant and owner who's sitting beside me. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
I should remind you that we do have your written submission.
Yes, yep. So I'll just briefly go through some matters, and I realise we're under time constraints. With regards to the matters of proposed for refusal, we'd just like to talk about the tree root mapping initially. We're a little bit surprised about this condition, given that the tree that seems to be the tree in question to have its roots mapped is, as I understand it, a jacaranda in the rear yard of 309 Nelson Street. To my understanding, reading the expert arborist report that we've submitted to council, all works are outside the tree protection zone of that tree. So we're just a little surprised that council would seek to have tree mapping, root mapping, where the development, to our mind, would not impact those, complies with the Australian standard for construction in around tree roots. So, notwithstanding, I understand the applicant is willing to go down that path of root mapping if required, but we see it as unnecessarily and well above the Australian standard requirements. With regards to building location zone and bulk and scale issues, while we understand that the applicant application does not comply with the building location zone, we would say that the building, and it's important to understand this, is of a size, a scale, and a density that is compliant with council's fundamental built form controls for the site, having regard to the FSR and the landscaped area requirements, which are the two key development standards applicable to development at the site. We note that there is a minor non-compliance for one dwelling with the site coverage control, which could be readily addressed by deletion of the proposed pond in the rear yard of one of the dwellings. So other than that, the development complies with council's fundamental built form controls in terms of density and in terms of landscaped area and site coverage. So we believe this is of a development that is the size and scale that is envisaged for development in this location. Therefore, in terms of non-compliance with the building location zone, we would say that this is a development that is setting the building location zone consistent with a compliant development in terms of its density and its landscape area and site coverage. We understand that there are minor non-compliances with regards to solar access, the order of half a square metre for 2 hours and 2 square metres. The rear yard of one property, we would suggest that this is, while it's an adverse impact, it's an impact that is reasonable and proportionate to a compliant development in this location in the inner city. In terms of site coverage, I've covered that. I think we are able to fully comply with site coverage with the deletion of the pond. It then comes down to us, as we understand it, the matter of heritage, which we see as a very subjective matter. By its nature, it's subjective in its interpretation of the controls. We note the council's heritage officer has sought to impose, if the development is approved, a number of conditions that would seek to amend the architecture significantly, particularly at the front of the dwelling. We've had expert advice, as council has, throughout this period, where we, where the architect has collaborated consistently with a expert to come up with a design that is clearly contemporary, yet we believe is complementary in terms of its vertical and horizontal proportions and materials to the heritage dwellings in the street and to the significance of the conservation area. We understand that it's modern architectural expression, but it is an infill site. There will be a site upon the demolition of the buildings that are there at this time. And we believe that putting in a more or less mock heritage building, which is seemingly what council's conditions are asking for, isn't the best outcome in this case and isn't necessarily consistent with the borough charter or control, which seeks, which explicitly says that new buildings, infill buildings, don't need to replicate the period details of adjacent buildings, only be complementary to them. We feel that the proposed design is complementary in terms of its vertical and horizontal proportions, its materials and its recessive design. I know I've rushed through that, but we have limited time. So I'm just hopefully got my points across. I might hand over to Wallace Chu, who's the applicant and owner. I don't know that he has a lot to say, but he's here for questions as well.
Before you depart, do panel members have any questions of Mr. Gordon? Yes. Mr. McInerney.
I think you're on mute.
You're on mute, Mr. McInerney.
Yes, there was a reference by number 309, the owners of 309, to the high bent boundary fence to there. That would be the western boundary, I suppose, of your development. Do you have a response?
Probably the northern boundary.
The northwest. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a response on that?
Look, I'm not sure that the residents of 309 have seen the amended plans. The amended documents went a long way to try and rectify some of those issues with regards to privacy and height fences and levels.
So I just might add to that. So through the chair, so we amended our design. So obviously you've got the submission in terms of revision C. Council has taken the view that because it was a reduction in terms of the environmental impact, it didn't actually go out to second public exhibition. So I'm not quite sure, just gauging by the response from Mrs. Fells, that they've actually seen the amended design, which effectively meant there was no full external timber deck that came from the outside of the building to the garage. It's now landscaped area, and that landscaped area is actually now at a level that is consistent with their backyard. And then the external deck to the northern dwelling is at a consistent height to what it is currently now. So that went on to address the matters that 309 raised in their submission. And there is no additional new boundary fencing along that northern boundary where previously it was extending above theirs.
Thanks.
Did you wish to say anything else, Mr. Chu?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say, probably just on a personal note, that whilst the application was through my personal company, it's actually for my house. And I've been a resident of the Inner West for 25 years and in Annandale 18 years. So I'm actually showing my age. But, you know, we saw this as an opportunity for us to be able to still maintain and live in the locality. And the only way we were able to do that was actually to re-establish the subdivision, which was, you know, originally was going to be originally it's two lots. So we would intend to live in the north lot and then potentially sell off the southern lot to be able to afford to build it. So we do understand, you know, the unique nature of the site. You know, we're a long-term residence, and we could have taken the easy road and provided a more traditional form. But, you know, this is something we're very held dear to, in terms of we want to provide something that had a bit of architectural merit. You know, the rest kind of things that we wanted, which is sustainability, you know, being able to age in place and being multi-generational. So our design kind of lended itself to all those kind of elements. And we're just, I suppose, we didn't want it to just accept a lot of what council's position was on terms of the design, because it forced us into a design that was kind of, you know, a mock traditional, which just goes against to what we're trying to achieve. So, but again, like Mr. Shua said, I'm here just more to answer any questions that the chair and the panel has.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from the panel?
No.
All right, thank you for that. What we will do is we will take on board what's been put to us and consider the matter and come up with a decision in due course. And we thank you all for your input. Right. So with that, we can move on to the next item on the agenda, yeah, which is the development at number 2 Crown Street, St. Peter's. We have three registered speakers in for this matter. Is Sarah Virgo here? I see the name. Sarah Virgo.
Hello, Mr. Lloyd. Yes, actually, I'm registered as Saganthi Chandra Mohan, who's my partner, but that's me, Sarah Virgo, or you can call me Sally.
Okay, all right. You proceed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on mute and there's the dogs barking. Okay, sorry.
All right, you proceed.
You have my submission. I think it's very short and to the point, similarly to the people who were in the case beforehand. I'm happy to be here to answer any questions about my submission, but I think it's fairly clear. I mean, my main point is that the eastern side of Crown Street, which is a street where I live, and it's a small, narrow residential street. The eastern side of Crown Street is overwhelmingly a very low rise residential strip, if you like. And I do think that the application that the owners have put in is to add another story, although it's been described as an attic bedroom. But I do think, in effect, it's a new story on that building. And I'm opposed to that and to any developments on that side of the road that attempts to do that.
All right. Any questions from the panel?
No.
All right. Thank you for that. Is Richard Musgrove there, please?
Yes. Hi, panel. Thanks for this opportunity to talk. I'd like to just reinforce some of the points that I made in my one-page speech. The bulk and scale and the number of floors is already far in excess of all other properties on the eastern side of Crown Street. The impact to my property is significant, and the loss of views across to Sydney Park have been considerably reduced and impacted. The site coverage is currently 62%, well over the permissible 40% for two or more stories development. The current proposal is asking to enclose a section of the roof that would then classify the building as four stories. This is way over the maximum allowed in this section of the Barwon Park Triangle. The document inaccurately states the existing dwelling was approved with a configuration of four stories. The building was approved as a two-story dwelling over a basement car park. These inconsistencies, I feel, are an attempt to mask the full impact of the current D on the surrounding properties. The original plan submitted clearly show level one was configured as a four-bedroom layout. This has been subsequently reconfigured to three bedrooms and a large walk-in robe. Kent's need for more room for his growing family could easily be solved by reinstating the fourth bedroom on level one rather than a new bedroom up on the roof. Kent's a, or the applicant is a builder and a developer that owns 16 properties. He knows the council regulations inside out and back to front. He knows how to play the system to his advantage. I feel the approval of this application would create a dangerous precedent for the whole streetscape of Crown Street in that a four-storey building was permitted in a two-storey zone, a gross overdevelopment of the site. Thanks for considering my points.
Any questions from the panel?
No.
None? Thank you for that. Now, is Mr. Will Nino there, please?
Yes, present panel.
Your turn.
I'm here on behalf of the applicant and landowner as their town planning consultant. I would like to point out that the site has an 11 metre height standard and the proposal retains compliance with the 11 metre height standard. The proposal encloses an existing roofed area, which is accessed via a landing, an area that is actually encapsulated as GF, as gross floor area, has direct stair access and has a roof and a pergola structure enclosing it, in addition to a green wall enclosing it to the western elevation. So the proposal seeks to enclose this area, which is approximately 14.7 square metres of floor area. As noted in the council assessment report, there is no privacy impact, or there is no visual privacy impact. This is confirmed in page 96 of council's assessment report. The proposal does not result in an impact on the desired future character of the area. The eastern side, sorry, the western side of Crown Street accommodates buildings between two stories up to five stories in height. The subject application does not change the number of stories on the subject site. It in fact encloses an existing roofed area. That area, like I previously stated, already accommodates existing gross floor area as well. The application has been submitted with sufficient justification to vary the proposed standard. The panel does have the prerequisite power to determine the application as a section 455 modification. And the proposal included additional perspectives that show the existing and proposed areas. Does the panel receive a copy of that additional documentation submitted late last week?
I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
Thank you. An additional one-page cover letter was submitted to the panel with perspectives of before and after, showing, I guess, demonstrating the elevations of the proposed addition from Barwon Park Road and also from Crown Street.
This one?
Yes.
Okay, we've got it.
Yes. So as you can see from those perspectives, from the photos taken across the road on Sydney Park and also taken on Crown Street, you can see the area where the proposed addition is sought. You can see that it is an existing roofed area with two steel posts either end and glazing on its southern end.
You continue, please.
And the proposal essentially encloses this existing roofed area. There could be, further amendments made to the materiality of that addition. But you can also see from the Crown Street elevation that it is quite concealed by the existing green wall and vegetation that runs up the Crown Street facade and over onto the roof. It's not discernible. It has minimal environmental planning impact. If there were any views, they would already be shielded by the existing structure. So it's enclosing an existing area, and it is not considered to generate additional impact. I believe the justification has been submitted with the application, and respectfully, it is requested that the panel support the application.
Any questions from the panel? Yes, Mrs. Taylor.
Do you disagree with the neighbour who complained about loss of view? Is there no loss of view to a neighbour that you can see?
Yes, I disagree. There is no loss of.
So have you lost or any sort of assessment of that sort of situation?
To form that opinion, I stood up on that rooftop level, and I actually took these photos as well. The neighbour is at a lower height than when I am standing on that existing roofed area.
I see. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
No other questions? All right. Well, as with the previous matter, the panel will take on board what's been put to us, and we will come up with a decision in due course. And we thank you all for your input. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
So with that, we can move on to the next item. Item number 3, this is the proposed modification of an approved development at 140 to 142 Norton Street, Leichhardt. There are no objections to this matter. It's been recommended for approval. There are no external impacts. The panel is minded to approve the application as recommended, and that will be the determination of the panel. With that, we can move on to item number 4. This is alterations and additions to an existing attached dwelling at 8 Yeander Street, Birch Grove. Similar situation. There are no objections and no external impacts to this proposal. It's been recommended for approval. The panel is minded to adopt the recommendation and approve the development subject to conditions, and that will be the determination of the panel. So we can now move on to item 5. This is the proposed Torrens Title subdivision at 155 Illawarra Road, Marrickville. And we have a number of people who wish to address us on this. So first of all, is Heidi Prompt there, please? And if you're there, you have to unmute.
Mute. Okay, am I on?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Hi. I'm Heidi Pronk. I'm an architect and one of the 4 owners of the subject property. We are local architects. We've lived in the area for 20 years, and we're also winners of numerous awards for our adaptive reuse and heritage projects, including the 2018 Marrickville Medal, which is in recognition of the conservation of cultural heritage in the Inner West. The development at 155 Illawarra Road was always intended as a showcase for what can be done to preserve and reinvigorate our built heritage. We are not developers with a capital D. We are trying to make the absolute best of this little bit of the Inner West for ourselves and our business and our future. We are seeking no physical changes to our already approved DA. It is a subdivision application. A boundary is proposed along the original 1890s party wall, and that was always separating the dwelling from the commercial use. And the originally beautifully drawn 1880s Burlington estate plan of subdivision shows all lots to Illawarra Road to have 20-foot frontages. Our lot has a double frontage of 40-foot. The layout and demarcation between the commercial and residential parts of the original 1890s dwelling are entirely retained in the approved DA, and this is the location of the proposed Torrens Title boundary. We note several errors in the assessment report, including a reference to residential Torrens Title amalgamation controls. However, the site is zoned for business purposes. There's an omission to any reference to the commercial Torrens Title subdivision and amalgamation controls. Therefore, the pattern of the residentially zoned lots around the site would appear to be irrelevant. The circumstances of this proposal are somewhat different. The built form of this development has already been approved. The form of title arrangements has come at a later stage. Council has already approved an allocation of private open space to the 2 approved dwellings. The size of the open space for the residents has already been approved and offers excellent amenity. It's a combination of a landscape courtyard and an upper level balcony with district views. The type of title arrangement, strata title or Torrens title, makes no difference to the approved form. and will not make any difference to the public presentation of the property. There appears to be an underlying concern that an approval would establish an unsatisfactory precedent, perhaps. The site is an isolated small parcel of land on a corner that is zoned differently from the surrounding land. An approval would not set a precedent for other subdivisions. We believe the application should be the subject of a merits assessment, and we are requesting an approval for a Torrens Title subdivision. The form of title of each dwelling is essentially an administrative matter.
Yes, please continue.
And the form of title will have no impact on the desired future character of the area. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you considered the alternative of a strata subdivision?
Yes, we have. That is exactly what we're trying to avoid.
Why?
Because it encumbers the property with shared fabric, building fabric ownership and onerous administrative procedures for something that only will have two tenants.
Any questions from the panel members? Yes, Mr. McInerney.
Can't hear you, Mr. McInerney.
Sorry, John, you're on mute.
Yes, to further that matter of why you would not choose a strata subdivision, you've obviously read the report and aware of the complexity and difficulties of the Torrens Title process. The strata seems to me to be the obvious solution. While you're right that there are certain administrative and sharing issues associated with, but it's a very common matter that's dealt with constantly throughout the whole of Sydney. The whole strata process is a very worked out situation, and people put up with it and work with it constantly. It seems to me that there must be some other reason why the strata isn't the solution.
It allows us to sever our partnership with our other two partners and subdivide amicably, and have individual ownership of parcels. Have you ever lived in a strata title building?
I'm living in one now.
have you worked with a dysfunctional strata title? We have.
There's only two of you.
well, true, but...
It's an encumbrance, and we've previously done one development where we redeveloped for our office and home and friends, a very small place, and it meant administration and shared building fabric and common walls, which overly complicates it, and who would not want to try for a Torrens Title subdivision to cleanly separate the two lots, and we have the frontage and everything is perfectly designed and it's only a question of checkboxes.
John, Neil McKenzie Pronk Architects, one of the other owners, following up, I suppose, on that you know, the original, there was an original effectively party wall, which is on the site, which runs down the middle of the site, which has always, since the 1890s, demarcated between the residential side of the property and the commercial side. Our approved design formalised, that line as the obvious continuation of the boundary between the two. And again, given the width of the frontage to Illawarra Road, matching the 20-foot frontages. And again, on simplifying title was really the reason why we went down this path.
Thanks.
Do you wish to add anything else, Mr. McKenzie?
I've got a small submission I'd like to make. Yes, if I may.
Yes, please.
So yeah, I've introduced myself. Obviously a partner with Heidi Pronk in Life and Crime, McKenzie Pronk Architects. We will use the commercial as our office address, and our partners will occupy the dwelling on proposed Lot B. Again, the purpose is to simplify future title arrangements. These buildings have their own complexities. I mean, it has an awning that covers the shop window, obviously under a strata that, speaking again to John's question, you know, another complexity is the awning and the shop front windows, which under a strata are common property, under a Torrens title is would be the, you know, under the control of the commercial side of the commercial lot. Look, it's an already approved design. It's clearly this is just about the subdivision. It does not in any way increase the development potential for the site, as the numeric controls are already maximised under the approved DA. Look, I guess just a few things. Our written submission highlighted a number of errors and omissions and misinterpretations. Just to very quickly pre-see them, that there was something about the statutory declaration from the previous owner regarding existing use rights, and the existing use rights submission prepared by our planners did not establish existing use rights for the dwelling solely in conjunction with a non-residential use of the other part of the building. The comment that the approved development included shared car parking was not correct. That was a space for either side. The assertion in council's report that the approved dwelling would be used in conjunction with a commercial area was not correct. The application, for our approved DA made no such statement. There is no requirement in the LEP for the residential residential units in a mixed lot to be used in conjunction with the non-residential part of the building, and there was no condition or description in the consent for that. The consent approved an office area with two dwellings which have been designed to be used independently of each other. There are no shared facilities, no shared circulation spaces within the building. They're completely autonomous in that sense. In the assessment period, we did make numerous requests with council staff. We made two submissions, including a lengthy letter and drawings to resolve we believe that we've not been afforded such a consultative process. Can I go on just about parking? The swept path diagrams with our original DA demonstrate clear access to both garage spaces from the rear lane. A typical small car space fits in the space for lot B with 500 millimetres clear on either side. And look, we consider it a serviceable small car space. Again, we've put forward three alternative parking arrangements to council, but we didn't hear back on any of that in the process. I guess we're in your hands. We've been requesting an approval on merit. There are no changes to the built form of our proposal. It's a functional change to the title arrangement.
Any questions, panel?
Thanks.
All right. I see Mr. Threlfo is here. Mr. Threlfo?
Yes, I'm here. Can I be heard?
Yes, and we have read the attached legal submission of Mr. Damien Briggs. So we have that as well.
Oh, well, that's very good. Do I need to expand on that further, or it's the difference between whether the residence on lot B is going to be a dwelling or a dwelling house, and I assert that it's a dwelling and
there is the legal question of whether we can lawfully do this in the light of the present planning controls. Personally, and I'm speaking for myself here, I have no problem with this proposal, provided we can legally do it. And what we are contemplating doing is obtaining an independent legal advice as to whether or not we can approve a Torrens title subdivision here. That's That's the present inclination. But we'll hear you out. You proceed with what you want to say.
Well, that's heartening to hear that, because I was that would, I think, give this proposal a lot of progress. I mean, the argument for me is quite simple. The dwelling, the residence to be unlocked is still a dwelling. I'm happy if you want to obtain a separate legal advice on that. With regard to the other matters then, I think they've been reasonably covered in the written submissions. This is a matter that could go on appeal to the Land and Environment Court. I think that would be a sheer waste of my client's money, my client's time, council's money and council's time. I think there are ample ways that the various issues could be discussed. There really is only one design issue, and that's car parking arrangement. And as Neil had said, there are a number of options available. One of those options includes complying with the draft condition of consent. That's not their preferred option. But if it came to that, then that's a design issue that can be contemplated. I think in other respects, the objectives of the zone are satisfied. I think the subdivision matter is essentially the merit matter. I'm happy to answer any questions, but if that's your view of the panel, then I think my client could accept that.
All right, any questions from the panel?
If I may, Mr. McKenzie mentioned that he had three alternatives to the car parking arrangement. Is it possible just to briefly go through what you get, where you're going there?
I could potentially share the screen and just show you, but just to very quickly say what they are. Very quickly, the double garage under a Torrens title, the complexity simply was adding a middle wall as required means that the resultant garage on the lot B side is 150 millimetres too small. We can a subtle change of if I can open them, I can share them. We may not be able to.
Chair, if you're happy for Mr. McKenzie to share, I can give him access to do that.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Just one moment, please.
Thank you.
Where is it? You can find it.
Fallback option.
No, complying garage. No. Submission. Is that original?
When we sent
it's
the letter.
The council. Yeah.
Three.
Two, three. Will I open all three?
Yes.
You have permission now, Mr. McKenzie.
Okay. Am I now sharing?
No.
Hang on. I'll just click on the share screen.
Wait,
no, you share. No.
Wait.
And then you have to click on. So there are three. So I'll just get that one.
Desktop. Okay.
So the first one on the screen now.
No, you haven't got
not
it.
Up yet.
Okay. Not up yet.
What do I have to do? Just try to have a quick. Oh yeah, it's green.
It's coming up now. We don't have. Oh, there we go. Yes.
Yes, we have it.
Okay. I suppose. Yeah, this is three hand-drawn drawings. First one basically just shows the 5.4 by 3 metre under the Australian Standard Garage. What it required, if you can see where my mouse is, it required us moving the proposed boundary up 150 millimetres to the north to achieve that. It means that the courtyard off the office space was somewhat smaller. Overall, the square metres of this courtyard from the dwelling are basically the same, just a slightly different arrangement. It was not our preferred. So I go to number two. Did you see a change then?
Yep.
Okay. So number two, Tom and Joss have two motorbikes and a small i30 car, but this version, if we were told that the garage didn't comply by 150 millimetres, then option two was that there are two motorbike spaces and bike parking and a store, and there is therefore no change to the architecture. So, I mean, this is formally saying it is motorbike parking as opposed to car parking. And option three. Did that come up? Oh, there. Option three basically was the deletion of the garage structure and surface car parking. And as surface car parking, the requirement under the Australian Code is 2.7 by 5.4. So again, not our preferred, but this was deleting the garages and the two complying spaces. So I suppose this was, you know, us quickly trying to get back to council and say, you know, what is your preferred, you know, wanting to start a dialogue and showing that there were three ways that we believed we could solve the parking problem.
But I guess for us, the loss of the garages is a major loss of amenity on the site, and but we've preferenced the ability to subdivide, I guess, Torrens subdivide over the garages if it came to that.
Yeah.
Because the store actually, the store fits the i30. It's just the little car. It's just, it doesn't quite meet Australian standards in width.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Any other questions, panel?
No.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. McKenzie.
I'll stop sharing. Yeah.
Do you wish to add anything else, Mr. Flilflo?
Well, I take it from what your comments are that you are intending to defer this matter.
My inclination, in speaking just for myself, is to receive legal advice that we can lawfully do this, bearing in mind that it is inconsistent with the objectives of the zone. If we can legally do it, then I'm happy to approve it. I don't know how the other panel members feel.
I agree, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, no, I concur with that as well.
All right.
I do too.
What we will do is we have the advice of Mr. Briggs. Thank you very much. We will get our own independent advice. If that confirms what Mr. Briggs has said, then you can assume we'll grant the consent.
Thank you, panel.
Thank you very much.
For consideration.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Then that brings us to number six on the agenda, 18 Ferdinand Street, Birch Grove. This is a modification to modify an approved building at 18 Ferdinand Street, recommended for approval. There are no objections to this, and there is no one registered to speak. So I think I'm saying safely that the panel will adopt the recommendation without amendment, unanimously.
Agreed, Mr. Chair.
Good.
Agreed.
Then we move to number one, Ramsey Street, Haverfield. Again, modification of an approved secondary dwelling at that address, which is also on the corner of Hawthorne Parade and Lord Street. We have Miss Vanessa Polfram in here.
Hi.
Hello. The recommendation is for an approval. There's just been a slight query in relation to the landscaped area.
That's correct. There was a in the recommendation for this section, what's it called now? 4.55, yeah. Was the request for a new landscape plan showing the same amount of landscape as was originally approved, which was, I think, 270 square metres. I think the planner may have made a calculation error in his, and I've discussed this with him, that he was going to use the same as the approved number in his request for that. However, we were just looking at it and what was requested in the change from the approved DA. The original DA that was approved had the access to the garage from Hawthorne Parade. We've deleted that and gone back to the current condition, which has access from Lord Street, which involves traversing across the site to get to the garage. The current condition is the owners have done some landscaping to the site. They've removed a fair bit of that driveway and put turf and some impermeable tracks within the turf that have been covered up by turf to get to the garage door. However, they were keen to keep some paving outside the garage door so that when you're swinging in and out of the garage, you're on a hard surface rather than a lawn surface, which would mean that the request is that the landscaping area be retained at 250 square metres, which is what there is currently after some landscaping, which is more than what there was before the original DA was put in, but less than was approved with the DA. That makes sense.
So what you're saying is in relation to condition 21A,
mm-hmm.
which requires an amended landscaping plan to provide at least 279 square metres of landscaped area.
Yes, I believe the 279 is a clerical typo. So, I think that when I spoke to the planner, he was suggesting it would be the same as what was originally approved, which was 270.
So you would substitute for 279 square metres, 250 mm-hmm. square metres. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Thank you. I understand that.
Thank you.
Any questions from the panel?
No.
No questions?
No, I would endorse that change.
All right.
Thank you.
With that change, I think the panel is in agreement, and that change will be made to the recommended condition, and the modification application will be approved.
Thank you very much.
Great.
All right. So now we come to item 8. This is the proposed modifications to an approved car wash facility at 95 Ramsey Street, Haberfield. We have a number of speakers here who wish to speak on that matter. Jessica and Alex Donnelly, Hugh Lowry and Vincent Crow. I have to say before you speak that the panel has discussed this application. We are minded to refuse this modification application and require the applicant to conform with the conditions of the initial consent. This will involve removal of the unauthorized signing, removal of the unauthorized structures, and a requirement to stick strictly with the approved hours of operation. In the light of that determination, do any of you wish to persuade us to change our mind?
Hello?
Mr. Crow?
Yeah, hello. So, yeah, well, in actual fact, I was going to give some more specific information to what I wrote in the submission, but I've got in my conclusion here what, I'm speaking on behalf of the Haberfield Association, just so you know. So I'm the president of the Haberfield Association. And what we propose really is, I think, what you've just said. So I'll just run through what we proposed. that the outstanding requirements from the January 2018 approval should be completed and verified, e.g. the additional screening of the plant and machinery. The Inner West Council should maintain its refusal of the DA that it refused in June 2019 and not retrospectively approve it. And the Inner West Council enforces orders 3 and 10, such as removal of the shade structure of the development control order that it issued on 17th of October 2019. And the car wash should be enclosed in a manner in keeping with the area and consistent with other enclosures the applicant has constructed in other council areas. So I think that more or less correlates to what you've just said, I think, does it?
Well, we can't revisit the existing consent. That remains. All we are doing is requiring the applicant to conform with the existing consent and the conditions of the existing consent, which would require it to remove the unauthorized structures and signs. That's the way we are going.
All right. That sounds okay with me, I think. What about you? What does he think?
Sorry, it's Hugh Lockery here. If I could just add to those comments, if that's okay.
Yes.
Sure. I think myself and Alex are adjoining neighbours of this property. Obviously, we've had ongoing issues with the development of the site for a number of years. Perhaps, if it was okay, we'd like to specifically address the issue of noise, which is one of the planning conditions of the original consent, which is still currently problematic. I have addressed it in my submission, but that submission and the acoustic report I've submitted has not been addressed in the assessment by council. And I'd suggest that the scope of that report gives a far better sense of the current noise from a variety of sources that we continue to suffer and endure, mostly on weekends. We have that acoustic report to demonstrate ongoing noise nuisance despite the measures taken. And I would point to, obviously in our submissions, we refer to a previous refusal by the Land and Environment Court on the same site. And that development, which was refused, provided for a 2.4 meter high acoustic wall on our boundary and for the car wash to be fully enclosed and to be located on the Kingston Street of the property. That's a completely different proposition to what we are suffering here. We acknowledge that that consent happened. There's a whole variety of reasons why that happened. But the noise that we and the manner in which the operations are conducted, despite our best efforts, are offensive and intrusive. In the heart of a Haberfield heritage area, we are deprived of the use and enjoyment of our backyards at the weekends. Alex can describe the 3-point high meter fence that has been installed on his boundary to try and deal with the noise issue and the intrusiveness that that has caused in his yard. We have taken whatever measures we can on our property, and our acoustic evidence, our expert advice is that there are no more measures that we can take to mitigate this ongoing nuisance on our site, and that the measures need to be addressed in accordance with the original planning conditions, proximate to the source. The car wash is in the most difficult area for the neighboring boundaries. It couldn't have been located in a worse location. Some of the measures on the original plans have not been implemented. There's provisions there for screening. The service station has been moved. There's no enclosures. And there's a whole number of issues that are directly impacting the immediate neighbors, as well as the heritage significance of the shopping precinct in the conservation area.
So what you're saying is you agree with our position?
No, absolutely. But in terms of enforcing the planning conditions, council seems to be of the view with the applicant that they have addressed those noise issues in the measures that they took. Our position is that we have further evidence demonstrating that those measures are ineffective and they haven't made a material difference to the noise and other impacts on our use and amenity of our property.
Any questions from the panel?
Mr. Lowry, I presume you funded the Renzo Tonin report directly, did you?
Yes, I did.
And I understand in reading that the inclusion was quite specifically that it does not comply. I don't think there was any two ways about it.
No. I was assured by council 15 months ago not to go to these measures because they would address the issue. They didn't consult us on the scope of their testing. They negotiated directly with the applicant. There was no reference back to us. There was marginal testing at times when the applicant was aware of the testing, and it was a totally unsatisfactory process. We were given commitments by council that they have not delivered on.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
No.
All right. Do Jessica and Alex Donnelly wish to speak? No? All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
it's Alex Donnelly here.
Yes, did you wish to
add? I just quickly want to add that, look, I agree with Hugh and Vince with their work, and then when we purchased 1 Kingston Street, that the previous owner told us about a proposal about a car wash, National Council, and the court was rejected in court because the site was not appropriate for a development like the current one. Therefore, we don't understand how this development was approved in the first place. This should allow consequences of deliberately varying the scope and consent and development for important historical heritage conservation area, and what's the point of having planning controls if they are not enforced? The vacuum stations, which do not add materially to the offensive noise, but add specifically to the use and overdevelopment of the car wash, they attract many more customers who create additional offensive noise, and removing them would reduce the noise but also address the car parking issues. The previous owners also explained to us of the dead zone between the boundary and the retaining wall of the service stations created by the agreement to mitigate the impact of a single car wash they installed on the site. Last year, agreed with the applicant to install a 3-metre-high timber fence along our boundary, but we were never consulted about it. The fences are so high, and because of the steep of the bloke, it runs from the car wash to our boundary. It makes our backyard less enjoyment, and it dominates our garden. The court recognised back in 2002 the size of the fencing required to reduce the impact of the development for this property would be significant, and for itself, this is why that back then in 2000 was not appropriate for such a development. There's washing and spray escapes from the car wash and blows into our back garden, and more measures need to be taken to protect my family from health issues. And we need to make sure that this car wash is fully enclosed. And with the going back to the car parking, because of the scale of operation, there's more traffic in the area. It reduces parking on Kingston Street. People park across my driveway, and I've had to call the police several times about this. So there needs to be more parking on the site for their staff and for their customers. Thank you.
Any questions from the panel? No? All right. Thank you for that. Well, the panel will be refusing this application, and we will be formulating formal grounds of refusal, and that decision will be published in due course. So that brings us to the end of the public meeting. Thank you all for your input, and the public meeting now will be formally closed. Thank you very much.
Stop video.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear us? Does the applicant get a chance to speak?
Oh, is the applicant?
Yes, the applicant is Consulting's here to speak.
In which matter?
In the matter that you've just determined against us.
Well, we don't have notice of anyone being registered to speak. Who is it that wishes to speak?
John Cody, the town planner, traffic engineer.
Does the panel wish to hear Mr. Cody?
Yes.
Yes, proceed, Mr. Cody.
To say we're shocked by the decision is a bit of an understatement. Just commenting on the noise, the council took exception to the Then the council engaged Rodney Stevens Acoustic. The council issued an order requiring that to be built, and the applicant built it. And the Rodney Stevens and Associates did a compliance test after the fence was built and concluded that the fence was doing its job. All of that led to the council concluding there was no noise issue associated with the operation of the car wash on the site. The second thing I would bring to your attention as far as parking goes, was also raised, the council, as the council's reporting for of 8 spaces, there are 7 spaces provided. The reason for that, there was initially 9, but before the main acoustic fence was built, to appease the neighbour at 1 Kingston Street, a short section of acoustic fence was built in the northeastern corner of the site, which went through the middle of 3 workforce parking spaces. The council insisted that remained after the acoustic fence specified by the council's acoustic consultant was constructed, and that meant that got rid of two of the parking spaces that were initially provided. But in any event, the council's code requirement of 8 spaces can be satisfied with the provision of another parking space, and we've indicated to council where that parking space could be provided. A very comprehensive compliance report was prepared of the structural improvements on the site, the buildings, and also number of parking spaces, number of driveways and landscape treatment. All of that is addressed in the reports to council, which council appears to have accepted and continually says satisfies their DCP throughout their report. In the circumstances where the council reviews the development or modification application, and as I said, consistently says that the application is consistent with the LEP and the DCP requirements, I don't quite understand. And then in circumstances where the noise issue dictated by council, contrary to what the gentleman said, the applicant was given an order. It wasn't a matter of it wasn't a matter of ongoing consultation. In fact, the applicant had to make a gibber application to get a copy of the council's consultant's compliance report confirm that the council's noise consultant in fact concluded that the acoustic fence that was constructed at a cost of about $120,000-$150,000 was effective. I'm staggered that we're still discussing the adequacy of the acoustic fence. We haven't seen a report by, I know Renzo Tonin, but I can't comment on his report. Wasn't made available to the applicant, but in circumstances where the applicant's consultant Stephen Cooper found no acoustic issue, and the council's consultant made recommendations and specified an acoustic fence of some size and cost, and then did a compliance check and found it to be effective, I don't know how Renzo could come up with a different opinion. I don't know if there was something unusual happening when he had the noise monitors in place. I do know that I do know that council's consultant, who wasn't directed by the applicant at all, specified the fence and then checked its compliance. If they wanted a higher fence, it would have been built. I don't quite understand why the applicant is being punished by a report that, in my understanding, hasn't been in the public arena.
I'm happy to address that if you like.
Say something, sorry,
John. Yeah.
Also, the structures
that
they're talking
about
contribute nothing to the noise.
The Cody, do you have anything to say?
Well, not really, but except that everything that should have been addressed was addressed by the council, and subject to changes posed by the council, which the applicant is prepared to accept. The last thing he expected coming along or tuning into the panel discussion today was a refusal on, I still don't understand clearly, as I said, any discrepancies were all identified and identified in quantified and identified and addressed. If there was work that
Mr. Cody,
to be done, like, there's constant reference to this I'm sorry?
Proceed, Mr. Cody.
This structure that was built over the bike down area is only providing climatic protection. To the workforce, so they're not standing out in the sun and doing the work. Does it mean that that's got to be removed? They've got to work in the sun. I don't understand.
It doesn't make any noise.
I don't understand a lot of the reason, and perhaps I will, when I said, to say that it comes as a shock.
Mr. Cody, the reason that we are unhappy with the shade structure is that it is not in keeping with the heritage conservation area. Why can't your client comply with all the conditions of the original consent?
I'm not sure that, are you suggesting that there have been several modifications? There was the original consent on the original consent was on the 22nd of January 2018. It was approved. Then there was a the 30th of November 2018, and another modification approved on the 1st of March 2019. There was the 24th of September, and there was a, which has never been determined, and this application was meant to make the building certificate application redundant. So everything that wasn't consistent with the most recent consent was addressed in this application.
Can I just shade structure?
Mr. Cody, the panel members may have some questions.
Yes.
Do panel members have any questions of Mr. Cody? No?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. No, thanks.
No. So have you said all you wish to say, Mr. Cody?
2 seconds.
I have. The applicant would like to have 30 seconds, if that's possible.
Is the applicant Mr. here?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, committee.
Your name?
Anthony Shahidi.
All right. Why can't you comply with all the conditions of the original consent?
We believe we have.
You haven't. You haven't. You've got unauthorised structures there, unauthorised signs. You haven't complied.
Yes. That's the we're attempting to regularise the unauthorised structure and the signs. And while you say unauthorised structures and signs are not affecting the neighbours in terms of the acoustics and the noise and the traffic, they're separate issues. But if I could just address you on the structure and the signs, the council in this report have not approved every single sign and have ordered the removal of three or four signs, the actual wipe down area or where the customers' cars are being finished off. All we did was constructed a pergola, which is a shade structure. It's not even a waterproof structure, just to provide some shade for the staff, which we thought was aesthetically pleasing to the area. And in all the objections that you've heard from the neighbours, not one of them has complained or can put hand on the heart and say that the structure that is part of this application is impacting them in any way whatsoever. And if you order the removal of that structure, the operation will still continue. The staff will still continue to wipe down cars, but you're going to cause them to do it in the blistering heat and the sun, and they're not entitled to any shade protection. That's the instance of this. As for the noise for the neighbours, we would do anything we could if there was an issue. We worked with council's acoustic consultants. We were prepared to build a fence as high as the sky if necessary, but we were told we weren't allowed to build it any higher than what it is. We went to considerable expense. Instead of going to court to fight the council, when our acoustic consultant, Stephen Cooper, was telling us that it's nonsense and there's no issue and we're compliant. So council engaged their own independent consultant. We agreed to take on the recommendations at a cost of $150,000. With issues with the operation of this site, even if you approve our application today, it doesn't diminish from the neighbours' rights whatsoever, because if we are not operating within the conditions of our consent, which is you're not allowed to operate more than 5 decibels above your background noise level, we can be breached by the council. And there are a number of ways that council can enforce if we're non-compliant in terms of acoustics. But to say today, we're going to refuse your application now. Your signs are going to be removed in entirety. Your shade structure for the staff has got to go. We're going to appease the neighbours. Doesn't matter how much money you've spent, how much you've worked with the council to try and get this over the line. The neighbours who
you've dropped out, Mr. Saidi.
Can I? Do I have a right to reply just to some of these comments?
No. We've heard you.
Who cry the loudest are the ones that are heard, and the small business owner and his staff are being punished. The neighbours will not be happy. Been there for the last 85 years into a park. And if you look at the objectors, the neighbour adjoining the car wash is not as one. Only the neighbour behind that's objecting, and he makes allegations that there's spray going into his backyard, which is not an acoustic issue, which has nothing to do with the application before the panel today. I implore you, I plead with you, I don't know what more to do. I don't want to go to court. I want to work with the council. I feel for my staff having to work in the heat. The removal of a shade structure doesn't change anything. in terms of the traffic and the, I've said everything I have to say. Please think carefully. No one's going to the application right now. If you want to have a site visit, I'm happy to accommodate you and hear the grievances of the objectors and what's proposed in terms of today to knock it back. One of the objections was we've relocated the position of the car wash. We've never done that. The car wash is in accordance with the consent. The only thing that's not in accordance with the consent is the silly architects' cars in the heat, and we put a timber structure up instead of some ugly shade sails, which we thought looked nice, and the signs that have been put up that are extra over and above, the council's already ordered the removal of a number of signs. And some of the signs that were approved that haven't been put in place are less offensive than the big ugly pylon signs that are approved. But the neighbours and the objectors are not impacted in any way by the signs or the shade structure. The only thing they're impacted by, they say, and they feel aggrieved by, is the acoustic measures. And if you approve the application today in terms of shade structure and the signage, I'm happy to even that Renzo Tone and things would be applicable and would help the situation. I'll incur the cost of going to further expenditure to do whatever's necessary to fix the. So I think I've said enough.
Any questions from the panel?
No, thanks, Mr. Chair.
No questions from the panel. Well, Mr. Sahady, I have to say you have to comply with all the conditions of the original consent, full stop. This application will be refused, full stop. That will be the decision of the panel. All right. So with that, we will now formally close this public meeting. And again, thank everyone for their participation. All right. Thank you very much.